So I love the time after Easter. I love this period because there's so much in God's word. There are so many things happening so quickly. And honestly, a lot of it just sounds like it's out of control. It's beyond the disciples. It's beyond everyone's ability and understanding. And it's like things are happening so quickly, like the ball starts rolling and nobody can stop it. And nobody wants to stop it. They just see it going and going. An exciting period in the time of the church. So I love reading the book of Acts, especially during this time, right after Easter, after he is risen. So quickly? He is risen! Yeah, there's something so amazing and so encouraging about what's to come and how God is working in the church. So this morning, I'm going to read you a fairly long passage of Scripture. I'm just going to read it all the way through, and then we're going to kind of look at it from maybe a little bit different perspective. So I'm looking at Acts chapter 3. So this is after Acts chapter 2, of course, because it's number 3. And Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost in which the Holy Spirit came down on the disciples, and they were preaching in languages that they had never spoken before. They're out in public, and all of a sudden they start preaching in languages they had never spoken, and people were hearing them in their own language, and it was just a huge revival that happened, and the Spirit of God moved in a powerful way on that day. And it says that, what was it? 3,000, I think, came to Christ on that day and were baptized. Can you imagine having a revival in which 3,000 people came forward, put their trust and their faith in Jesus, and were baptized on that day? That would have been an awesome memorial day. And so you would think after that that things would just start going crazy. But here in chapter 3, it seems kind of a little bit funny because it seems like another day. Just in another day. You would think after 3,000 people came to Christ that John and Peter and the other disciples, when they went out in public, there'd be a huge stir. You know what I'm saying? There'd be people following them and people talking and just all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But here in chapter 3, it seems like just another day. So here we go. One day. Peter, I'm going to put my glasses on so I don't get jumping around here too much. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one." I just have to stop. So this is Peter speaking. Does anyone else kind of, this just gets me every time I read it, because if you remember, who was it that disowned Jesus? Peter. Emphatically, he disowned him. As a matter of fact, he disowned him 3 times. And here Peter is talking to the crowds. And I imagine every time he said this, and he says it twice right here, I'm sure every time he says disowned, I'm sure there was just a little bit of a oof going through his heart. "You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this by faith in the name of Jesus. This man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many have spoken, have foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Then God raised up his servant. He sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. The story goes on. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people, and they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, you have to understand, I'm just going to stop here. They were really upset about this because the Sadducees, So the Sadducees, there's this little saying, they're sad, you see. Okay, they're Sadducees, and they're sad, you see, because the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They're one of the people that were saying there is no resurrection of the dead. You can't believe in that. There's none of these angels. There's none of these different things, and that's why they're so sad, you see, because they have no hope of the resurrection. They have no hope of life after death. They have no hope, and so they're sad, you see. And so they were very upset because the disciples were talking about Jesus being resurrected from the dead. They're proclaiming that there is hope. There is life and life eternal. And see, they're upset because if people start believing that, then they're out of a job. They're out of a position. And so they're very upset. And so they come up to Peter and John, greatly disturbed, because the apostles are teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. And they seize Peter and John because it was the evening. They put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas and John and Alexander and the other men of the high priest family. And they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? I think they already knew. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation, I love this, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in his name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, reported all the chief priests and the elders had to say to them, and when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Let's pray. Oh, precious Father God, you are an amazing, incredible, and awesome God, Lord. And I thank you so much that you are in control. I truly do, Lord. I recognize that in this world, in this time, we will have trouble. I recognize, Lord, in this world, there are wars and rumors of wars. I recognize, Lord, that there are troubles and there are problems and there are things going on that we cannot understand and we cannot comprehend and we don't understand in any way, shape, or form. And we wish we could change them, Lord, but we recognize that you are a sovereign God who is over all things, and we can trust your incredible and mighty plan, Lord. And what we desire more than anything else, Lord, is to be a part of your plan, to play the part that you've brought to us, to open our eyes and hearts to recognize when we need to speak and when we need to be quiet. Lord, to step out in faith each and every day to serve you and to glorify you as you desire us to. Lord, help us to see more clearly our role this day in serving you and following you and in worshiping you. Lord, we pray that you would shake us to the very core, that our lives might be a living testimony of your love and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. So that was kind of a long story. And I don't normally read that much scripture at one time, and I know it feels just a little bit awkward sometimes, but there's a long story there, and there's a lot of characters within that story that goes all the way through. And I'm just going to kind of ask, I'm going to give you just a second or two to kind of think, which one of those characters, which one of those people within this story did you kind of relate to? Did you kind of think, when you hear their role, when you think of what they did, your heart kind of pounds a little bit. You're like, ooh, yeah, I can get into that. Was it Peter? Was it John? Was it the beggar? Who was it? You see, there's all kinds of different characters in here. Peter seems to be the big one, all right? See, he seems to be the big character because he's the one that's doing all the speaking and doing all the different things and recognizing the need of the beggar. Are you one of the Peter people? Are you one of those people that are able to walk around this earth and recognize and see in the eyes of those who are around you the needs that they have? And are you the one who has that boldness to be able to step out in faith and literally lift your... what's that? Extend your hand. Thank you. It wasn't lift. I couldn't think of the word. I could see it, but I couldn't think of it. Extend your hand to those in need and be willing to literally reach out in the name of Jesus. Do you have that boldness to speak when no one else seems willing to speak? Does God place those words in your heart and in your mind? Man, that's an awesome gift. And it's one of those gifts that if you don't use, If you don't cultivate, if you don't start stepping out in faith and recognizing what God is calling you, if you ignore those opportunities, sooner or later, you start ignoring all the things that are going on in your life and the amazing blessing that God wants to bring into your life. And it's not for you, it's for the people around you. God implores you, he's begging you. He says, we need people to rise up, those I have called, those I have gifted, to be the mouthpiece that I created them to be. Don't be like Moses and shrink back. Don't say, oh, I can't speak. Well, don't shrink back. Step forward in faith and knowing that God will give you the words at just the right time, in just the right manner, with just the right heart to impact the people that God places in your life. And that's exactly what it is. It's nothing of you. It's nothing of your plans. It's nothing of what you've got in your mind. It's all God working through you. The same Spirit that was working through Peter lives in you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same power that can do miraculous things lives in you, and don't doubt it. Because so many people think, well, that's not me. If it's not you, you got a bigger problem. You need to listen and come to Jesus. You see, he has an amazing plan for those who are bold and will step out in faith and do the things that he's calling them to. The one that cracks me up in this, there's several, but the one that cracks me up in this story is John. You notice that? So John's along. It's Peter and John at the very beginning. But I've read it several times. According to right there, John never says a word. Yeah, he's kind of the companion that goes alongside. As far as we know, he didn't say a word. But guess what? He got thrown in prison just like Peter did. You know, John had times and places, but there is such a great need for people who are willing to walk alongside. As a matter of fact, Jesus sent out his disciples in two. He recognizes that every one of us needs encouragement. Every one of us needs someone to lean on. Every one of us needs that encouragement in the ministries that we're in. And sometimes the greatest role is just to be that encourager alongside those people. And you know what? You might be a little scared to stand up and say anything. You might be a little afraid to do that stuff. But every single person needs encouragement in their ministry. You can come alongside people and encourage them. I feel blessed. I feel incredibly blessed to have so many people who've come alongside me, who continue to encourage me. Nathan is one of them. Brett's one of them. My wife, Kathy, is my biggest supporter. And without her, I don't know what I would do. I'd be probably shriveled up in a ball most days, not knowing what to do or where to go. And if it wasn't for her encouragement and her desire to lift me up and encourage me to do the things God has called me to do, I would be lost. A lot of times I have crazy ideas, and she's the only one that I'll tell the crazy ideas. And I always think that she's going to be the one who'll say, oh, that's crazy. We shouldn't do that. She's crazier because she encourages me to do it. She's the one who says, let's go. Let's give. What a blessing. And if God has laid on your heart to be one of those people who just walks alongside, that's not like this. That's like this. Because those who are working, those who are out there in front, without the people behind the scenes, without the people that are encouraging them, they're going to go absolutely nowhere. And so we need you. We need you to recognize the role that God has called you to and step out in faith. You know, the beggar is the other one in this thing. And you think, well, He's got the easy role, right? He's got the easy role here because he's just a beggar. He's the broken. Have you ever been in that role? Have you ever been in the broken role? The one who's helpless? The one who needs help? The one who's always depending? Is that the easy role? To me, that's one of the hardest roles to ever get into. And here this man, we learned near the end of the text, was born with this debilitating disease or whatever it was, and he was now 40 years old. 40 years old, he'd been dealing with having to be dependent on other people. For 40 years, if you missed it for 40 years, it says, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. If you're in that role right now, God bless you. God bless you, because God is using you where you're at right now in your broken condition. Whatever that is, whether it's health, whether it's relational, whether it's psychological, whatever your broken condition is, wherever you're at, God has got you there for a very specific reason. It's not to keep you there. It's not to hold you there. It's not to punish you. It's for his glory, because every crackpot, every one of us were created by God for a reason. Every one of us were created to let his light shine through us. Do you remember that passage? Let me see if I can find it. I think it's in Matthew. I got it written down here. Yeah, it's Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 says this. Matthew chapter 5, I'm getting there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, I think it is. Yeah, verse 14, it says, you are the light. Listen to this. Every one of us was created by God for a reason. We are not a mistake. Every single one of us, God has a plan for your life. Every one of us, whether we trusted in Jesus or not, God has a plan for your life. His greatest plan is that you trust in Jesus and get into the plan and get into the action, get into the game that he's called you to. But he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and what? And praise your Father in heaven. There's a passage of scripture that I always have to go along with when I'm looking at that. When it says, let your light shine, let God's light shine. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I read this a lot. I read this a lot to the crackpots, to those who are in trouble. Actually, I think I read it just, you're going to hear this again, Sandy, because I think you just heard this. We were the other day in the hospital. And if you're in the hospital, more than likely, if I come to visit you, more than likely, I'm going to read you this passage of scripture. Because everyone who's in the hospital, it seems like they're in a broken condition, right? Something's wrong. Yes? You're all with me, right?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So, if you're not in a broken condition, what are you doing in the hospital, all right? So, there's great encouragement to me for people when they're in the hospital and they're in this broken condition, because there's this passage of scripture that I absolutely love, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. It says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Let me read that again. Let light shine out of darkness. He made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. If you are broken, if you are in need, if you are one of the people who are the beggars of the world right now, that you are in the lowly state, recognize that God has placed you there for a reason. He has broken you for a reason. He has cracked you for a reason. The reason is so his light can shine through you. See, a crackpot lets more light shine through than a whole pot. You know what I'm saying? And the more cracks we have, the more broken we are, the more God's light can shine through us. And I love this beggar. I love him. For 40 years, he's been sitting in the same spot. For 40 years, he has been a witness to the people who walked through that gate. Everyone knew him. Three times a day, people came into the temple to pray. Everyone knew this man because for 40 years, he sat probably in the same spot, looking at the same faces passing him by. On this day, he looks into the eyes of Peter and John, and someone doesn't throw him an alms, a coin. They reach out their hand, and they lift him up. And the day that he has been waiting for 40 years finally comes, and he is healed. And I love his reaction. And you got to get this. If you're one of the beggars, you need to get this and understand this. The reaction is when God comes into our life, when God brings healing into our life, the reaction that he's looking for, the reaction that he desires is praise and worship. You notice, first it says he walks, and then it says he starts to jump, and then he starts to praise God, and he's going, he's praising God, and he's thanking him, and he's showing everyone, I'm walking. I've never walked before a day in my life, and I'm walking, and he's running, he's praising God. But there's also something else that it says that he does. He says he's running and praising God, but then he goes back to Peter and John, he hangs on to him. And he goes back and he's praising God. And then he goes back to Peter and John, he hangs on to him. And he's always going back to the source of where that miracle came from. And he's going back to a person, but the source is not the person. And Peter makes sure that he tells the people, it's not me who did this. It was in the name of Jesus that it happened. Now, what happens so often, and hear me out, because this is what happens so often in my life and in so many people's lives that I know, when they come through the place that they've been a beggar, that they've been broken, and they find healing, and there's that initial excitement of praise God, so many times it's real easy to fall back into a normal lifestyle. But it's something that the beggar did that you might not have recognized here, something that the beggar did in this story that makes me believe that he's going to continue on. You see, the beggar, the last part of his story was not praising God in the temple, because Peter and John were arrested and they were put in prison that night. It doesn't say the beggar was put in prison. He was probably running too fast at that point in time. But you recognize the very next day when Peter and John are standing before the Sadducees. Why are they Sadducees? Because they don't believe in eternal life. They're standing before the Sadducees and the rulers and the authorities, and it says the beggar was right there. If you missed it, it's in chapter 4, and it says, for we who are, I'm in 2 Corinthians, that's the wrong 4. Wow. Acts 4. It's in the same spot. That's what kind of threw me off a little bit there. Acts chapter 4. See, it's right here in this little corner. So here it goes. So it's by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man, here it is, if you missed it, I want you to catch it. I'm in verse 11. He says, whom you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Flip over the page. Later on it says, everyone living it. Let me see. I got it written down right here. 4:4. And there's, where is it? What? 14. Thank you. See, he's standing right beside me again. You got to have those supporting people. Thank you, Nathan. 14. They took note and listened. Oh, yeah, there it is. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. You see, we need to remember what God's done for us. We need to continue to allow that light shine through our broken vessels and be a witness for what God's done. And we can't forget. Are you so far removed? Are you so far removed from what God has done that you've forgotten to be excited? That you forgot to go stand in the gap? Man, I hope not. Too many times the world gets in our way and makes us devalue what God has already done. And we start living our lives for ourselves, and we need to continually remember what he has done. You know what? There's another character in there that you might have missed. I don't know if you missed it or not, but I'm going to show it to you. It has to do with the beggar. Do you remember these people right here? It's talking about now a crippled man from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Who carried him every day for 40 years? They carried him in and they carried him out every day. Well, I shouldn't say for 40. They probably didn't carry him there the first year or two. You know, there's a special place for those people. And each one of us could be that person. There's a little saying talking about, I love this, I think it's, had Nathan look it up. This is where this came in, Nathan. So there's a little saying, I think it was Martin Luther, and it's attributed to someone else. It says, I'm just a beggar trying to tell other beggars where I found food. And that's what's going on here. They're just beggars trying to tell another beggar where they found food, where you can find hope. And just inviting them in. And here's the thing. I'm talking about the rock. I'm talking about the roles that we can play. You know what? You might not be the Peter who stands up and can proclaim the word of God. You might not be the John who walks alongside in that supporting role. You might not be the broken person. You might be pretty good right now, but you can be the person that just brings other beggars to a place where they might find food. Just encourage them, not to alleviate their fears, just to walk with them, maybe to pick them up, maybe to literally go and pick them up in their vehicle. Maybe it's just to walk alongside them. Maybe it's to invite them to a basketball game. Maybe it's to invite them to whatever is going on and not just send them, but bring them with you. You can do that. If you care in any way, shape, or form for anyone in your neighborhood, for anyone in your family, for anyone in your school, if you care in any way, shape, or form, you've got to recognize their broken condition. You need to recognize that each one of us are a beggar who is in need of food, who needs salvation, the greatest gift. Every day. Every day we have that opportunity. Every day. Maybe you're part of the crowd. We overlook the crowd, don't we? Remember when this beggar is jumping up, he's running around, he's praising God. He's raising a ruckus out in the colonnade, all right? He's raising such a ruckus that people start gathering. As a matter of fact, it says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and what? They came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, you see, they came running because something different was going on. They recognized something was happening, and they wanted to be a part of it, and that was an awesome thing. And guess what? I hope there are crowds that come. I hope there are people that come just because there's something going on. There's something happening. But if you're a part of the crowd, and that's okay. If you're a part of the crowd, listen to me. There's a role for you. Because after the speech, after the preaching, after everything that happened, guess what? Someone had to be first. If you're part of the crowd, listen to me. Someone had to be first. I don't know who it was. We don't know the name. I don't know how it happened. It doesn't tell us. But someone had to be first, because after Peter and John had got done talking and preaching and the Sadducees and the guards came and they arrested them, there's this little piece of information in chapter 4. It says right here, it says, they seized Peter and John, verse 3. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. And then there's this little passage, verse 4. It says, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. You see, there had to be, you got to think about these things. You can't just read it and go over. You got to think about what's happening here. So Peter and John gave this incredible message, and all of a sudden they're seized and they're thrown in jail, and you've got this large crowd of people, and it had to be a pretty good sized crowd of people. They're all standing around and they're being let off and they're put in jail, and someone had to be the first one to say, I believe those guys. Someone had to be first. And then someone else says, yeah, I did too. And then the third guy, I don't know exactly how he said it, but he said, what do we do? And then the fourth guy somewhere back in the crowd said, "You're supposed to be baptized. That's what they did a few days ago." And one by one, 2,000 men came to Jesus that day. So if you're part of the crowd and you're hearing the message, there has to be one. There has to be one who says, "I believe. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe it. I get it. I understand it. I've seen with my own two eyes the power of God working in the lives of people. I see what he did to the beggar. I see what he did to Peter. I see what he's doing through John. I see what he's doing through these people that are standing around me. And I believe that Jesus can do the same thing in me. I believe he can heal me. I believe he can give me the hope of eternal life. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I put my trust in him." You see, when one person gets it, when one person verbalizes it, it starts a flood of people not being afraid and standing up. I've seen it here. You've seen it here. You see, if you're part of the crowd, that's a good place to be. But don't follow the crowd. Do what he's calling you to do. You know, in the weeks and months to come, there's going to be all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of roles that you can play, all kinds of things that can be done or should be done or might be done. I want you to start thinking about it right now. Right now. Where is God calling you? What is he giving you? What gets your heart pumping? What is it that God will call you to do in order to bring the majority, the people who are in the crowd, to the realization that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Start preparing your heart right now. So, you probably all noticed I skipped one of the characters. Don't be one of those people. Don't be one of those people who literally see the miracles of God, the power of God, the healing touch of God. Don't be one of those people who the beggar is standing right in front of you and you deny the power of what's happening. You see it, you recognize it, but you want to push it aside. You see, there's a lot of people out there that are doing that. And the more you push it aside, the further away he gets. Today is the day. Today is the day to believe, to trust, and to follow him. Amen? Let's stand and sing my favorite song.